That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live. It's a Saturday morning, June 17th, 2023. And we've got a full crew on this morning, and we thank them for joining us. We'll bring them in on. And Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And then back up north. Brother Paul, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you. Hope you have your coffee. I've got some good fresh Black Rifle coffee here, and got my Bible, and we hope you do too, Remnant. We thank you for joining us for fellowship, for
praise.
At
least from here, Richard, you're a lot lower than we are.
Okay. Is that any better? How's that?
Nope.
How's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, appreciate
it. It's still really low. Every time you go on the air, you go low. You know, these other guys are about blowing me out of the phone, but you're still really low.
Well, we'll try to back adjust this a little bit. We still adjusting this board some. We had to replace the mixer board here just a few weeks ago, So we're still trying to get it right, and it's a different board, different, you know, went from a Ford to a Chevy, so to speak, and so it's just a little different, and but maybe we'll get it worked out, maybe that'll work, but we do say good morning, Remnant, and phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913, and we'll open up in prayer. And Zach, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Sure. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask that this this broadcast, this meeting of the Radio Ranch Wranglers be blessed, Lord. We just ask that it be an uplifting time for those out there that are listening, and us as well, Lord. We pray that it strengthens us, and we just pray that it gives us more confidence and equips the saints to go out and do your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, well,
I had a conversation yesterday that got me to thinking, and was talking to a good Christian lady, and she was talking about how we were called, and you know that if there was going to be a battle that was coming and whatnot. And so I was working on the roof, and it was cool morning time. It was only about 90. It hadn't gotten real hot for the day. And anyway, I was just contemplating that conversation, and that, you know, there's a battle coming, and a lot of us have that mindset, but got to thinking, and you know, really, that battle was here. It's just whether or not we choose to fight it, whether or not we choose to be a part of it, and how much easier it is if you put yourself mentally in a place where, you know, well, one day I'm going to have to fight and protect my household whenever they come here to the gate, you know, and try to take us out or take us over. And, you know, that's one thing. And that's a singular decision that whenever you're faced with whatever situation that you make, okay, I'm going to take a stand. And it happens that day, you know, and it's fairly simple. But in my opinion, the battle is already here. It's every day. Choosing to do the right thing every day. It's choosing to get up early and put on your boots and work hard and try to, you know, build a name that God would be proud of, you know, to do his work. And whenever you have, when somebody wrongs you and you have the ability to get them back, that you don't, you choose to have grace and mercy on them, and, you know, to do the hard thing and make the stand. And when everybody's having a conversation that's against the word of God, speaking up and saying, well, no, it is wrong for all those folks to have gathered at the Capitol having the gay pride rally. We should not tolerate that in the land. That does not do us well to tolerate all of this paraded, you know, and being pushed off on us and our children, you know. And then it's just, we need to see the battles that are raging around us every day and take part. And if we were all fighting this, you know, really fighting it, we wouldn't be where we're at right now, you know. And but instead, we all of us don't do everything that we can do to change the direction our country's going in. So therefore, it's getting worse and worse, and we're going down a slope. And God's going to let us continue to go to wherever the stopping point is, where we finally say, hey, you know, I think we might be better off doing it God's way instead of our way. Well, we get to choose how much it hurts. And, you know, so the battle is here now, and also the battle is tomorrow as well. But just that mindset of, oh, something's coming, and I'm going to do this whenever it gets here. You know, I'm going to stock up. I'm going to, you can fill in the blank with anything that that you want to. But if you're waiting to do something, if you're waiting to change your life, if you're waiting to start tithing until you can afford to, you're losing the battle now. And you're not training to be more effective later. Think about David in his life. From a boy, he was training and he was being equipped. God was putting him in situations and he was being equipped to be able to take out Goliath? I mean, could God have, if he wasn't a manly man, could God have still used him to do that? Yeah, but most of the time, that's not the way God works. He looks for our obedience, and we've got to work to be in his will and seek his will and grow in him to be strong enough for when that day comes to be able to win whichever battle. But he started out battling animals and taking care of the flock and, you know, out there on the ridgeline. He didn't start out, you know, a soldier on the front lines of the battlefield. And that don't make it any less of a battle. That don't mean that, you know, a mountain lion or whatever couldn't have taken him out back then if he wasn't prayed up and fighting the way that he could fight then. Because they are, you know, it is a real battle. It is. It's a war. But just challenge everybody to look at your mindset and where you're at, and are you fighting? You know, is it easy? Because if it's easy and everything's going great, you might need to pick your head up and look around.
Amen to that.
Josh, I could not agree with you anymore about... I love your introduction. And when you topped it off with, we have to look at our mindset. Because I know this might surprise some of you guys, but sometimes I get bent out of shape at certain things. And what I was going to, if I was going to be the guy introducing this morning, because I was thinking about it all morning, as I was getting ready to go do my tree job that I'm going to do after this. And I've had this happen on several occasions. I'm going to share a story, but I'll tell you the one that happened yesterday. And I'm going to, before I start, the battle is our mindset, first and foremost. We have to make sure what's going on between our ears and behind our eyes lines up with the Word of God. Period. If it doesn't break any of those rules, we are cleared to go. So I got a phone call earlier this week about doing an estimate. And I called the people back, and I was on the phone with them for probably 5 or 10 minutes. And all I heard was, oh, these people went to church with people that I knew. Now, from my old church back in the day, when the Holy Roller, you know, Judeo-Christians, and that's all I heard. Now, I'm going to ask each one of you guys a question. As I was driving out there, what do you think my chances are or were of actually selling that tree trimming job? Josh, what do you think my chances were?
Well, it would depend. And so whenever you said they went to church, I automatically went to a negative place of their character. I apologize.
Okay.
And was thinking that you probably didn't want to do the job unless, you know, because they weren't going to have you do it unless they were going to get to beat you and then okay, undercut it and lowball it. That would be my initial thought.
Paul, what do you think?
There's too much I don't know. You know, I don't know. First of all, she called you for a reason. So, you know, you got to eliminate a lot of stuff you're thinking. For some reason, she called you. I'd say you got a pretty good chance of selling it because she called you. But you got a lot of luggage in there that I don't understand all the ramifications of it.
All right, Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, I think no. I think, wanting something for nothing, because that's the... I think that's the mentality of the Judeo-Christian crowd, something for nothing.
So I actually have this kind of situation pop up like 3 times a year. And every time I'm driving there, I'm mad because I know, I mean, I can sell, but I just know that these people are looking for a deal. And the job ended up being like, you know, it was very small. And I told them like $300.
and they wrinkled up their nose. Oh, geez, that's too much.
Yep.
And I explained to them, you have a half hour of my time right now. You have a half hour of me going home. You have a half hour of me grabbing my truck and coming back. Like, it's not about the size of the job. It's about what, like, I explained everything to them. And I'm still not going to make any money. You know, because, like, I didn't say I'm still not going to make any money. I was trying to explain to them the steps. And I realized they hinged everything, their reputation, on their religion, their church, and they wanted a deal, and I didn't sell the job. And I realized they really didn't care about the second commandment. They were only concerned about themselves in reality. The trust that they were trying to build up with me and all that stuff, like, I'm going to get, well, what about the guy that's actually doing the job? Uncle Paul told me a long time ago, you have to worry about everybody in the deal. And I realized, and like, I just knew it was going to be a no-go when I went there. And
well, that's what
I realized, that they were victims of, they are actually victims of the Babylonian system and are completely oblivious to it.
Yep.
Because Babylon caters to their wants. So the fight is between our ears.
Well, and when we look at something, we look at it as something as a fair deal, right? And you're not trying to beat anybody, but you're riding over there in a, you know, $20,000 truck. You're gonna burn $30 worth of fuel going there and back. And you know, you're looking at all of what constitutes a fair deal. You want to make some money, turn some revenue to cover your wear and tear and pay for your time at a reasonable rate is what you're trying to do. But there are so many people out there that all they look at is absolutely getting you to do it as cheap as they possibly can, and they don't care about you, and they don't care about your opinion of them, what their name is. So apparently, to me, that person who, you know, whatever the job was, if they wanted it for $200, and that $100 difference, that was worth you having a negative opinion of them to them. And that it's not to me. You know, what, same thing I think about whenever, like, if I'm going to buy something. And now, if you try to sell something, if you put an ad, you know, Craigslist, newspaper, whatever, Facebook, and you're trying to sell something, you've got to list it for less than what you'll take for it, even if it's a good deal. Because if people can't Jew you down, then most of the time they won't buy it. And I think about that, okay, the term is Jewing somebody. You know, is that what you want to be known as? And so me, when I go to buy something, I'll, you know, look at it, and if I like it, I ask them, okay, what do you got to have for it? And they tell me their price, and either I like it and I buy it, or I say, okay, well, I appreciate you, and go on. You know, but I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that wheel's a little bit dirty, and, you know, it's got a scratch. They know it's got a scratch when they're selling it, you know, but I'm not going to sit here and beat you up over a few dollars and have you think that, have you have a lower opinion of my character over winning a few dollars.
But Josh, isn't that how people, people do that, then they come in after the fact, then they're telling their buddies, oh man, I got this guy. I got this for the best deal ever, you know. And they did beat him up. When they do that, they beat him up. They I got him down to this, and they brag on that. You know, instead of, I got this for a fair price. It was a deal for the other guy too, a fair deal. That's not what's. What's in the consciousness? That's not what people think about. That's not what they want to brag about. And I like how you put it, Zach, that they just don't know the second commandment, to love your neighbors yourself. They don't. The word is not out there. You know, I don't watch TV.
Nor do they care.
Nor do they care is right. I don't watch TV, but somebody sent me a link on this. And everybody familiar with the old Jeopardy show, right? It's been a, whatever you call it, game show or whatever for years. So recently they had it was a fill in the blank. And they had three people there, these, you know, super smart people. And none of them got it. None of them knew it. And you know what the blank was? They even said, okay, this is in Matthew, in the scriptures. And so it is, our Father who art in heaven, be thy blank, be thy name. And none of them got it. None of them got it. And they even had, feedback or whatever from people writing in, calling in, saying, I can't believe it that people, you know, you didn't know that. But I thought that what a, you know, it's just symbolic of how our people are. And I know it kind of hit me hard. You know, I would think most people would at least know the Lord's Prayer. Nope. These three smart. Now, the next question was about some actor in Hollywood, and two of them, you know, bam, they hit the button right immediately. They both knew it. But you're right. Our people don't know. They just absolutely don't, and they don't care. They don't. They are oblivious to that they are blind and wretched and poor. Absolutely oblivious to it, thinking that they are just, yep, hitting it on all 10 cylinders, just doing good.
Zach, I'll tell you how to handle that. Estimate the next time. First of all, you charge $10 for an estimate. That would get rid of them right then and there. But if they do pay it, and you tell them $300, and they say, that's too much. Oh, yeah, I was wrong. It should have been $400. You know, and I've done that. You talk about shutting them up. It does it right now because our company was the only one in town that charged $10 for an estimate. And we got rid of all the shoppers, and it was deductible if we did the work, you know. But I'm telling you, just about every job we went to, we got. And that's all it takes to get rid of them.
For $10.
$10. Like 10 cents on a can.
Well, you know,
it's just an attitude that they have.
And the reason why I bring it up, I mean, I'm not sitting here to, like, shoot holes in anybody. Well, yeah, I kind of am. The Judeo-Christian theology has trained them to be that way. I mean, they are the biggest promoters of one world government. They are the biggest promoters of the blended system, the Babylonian system and God's system. And they're oblivious to it because of their lack of education. But, you know, they sit there and they think, like, you know, Jesus gave me this free and wonderful gift, and, like, this is how it's going to be, you know, when I deal with my brothers, you know. But the electric company doesn't care if you're a Christian or a Buddhist. The mortgage company doesn't care if you're a Christian or Islamic, you know. They don't care. And that mentality, like, just you, and I can tell you story after story like that. I've had people actually say, give me a good Christian price. And the one guy I knew, and I was like, well, then quit acting like a Jew bag. You know, like, why are you asking me to do all this work for nothing?
Right.
Like, you're out of your mind, you know? But the thing of it is, it's like, it's the mentality. We have to, God's going to bring people to, like, well, you know, how much pain can you take? And it's sad in a way. It's really sad. And it just goes to show, like, the amount of training that our enemy has done, that we've put up with, that we've accepted, that's gotten our society into this mess, this wonderful country. And, you know, it's why it's important to train your children the way they should go.
We can't blame anybody because we bought into it. You know, and then the answer to this whole thing is thinking gain is godliness, and that's what those people do. If they get gain, they're godly. You know, there's so many people that have huge empires that think they're doing things godly, but they ain't doing it God's way. And the line's being drawn, you know, and I don't know exactly how this fight's going to do because I've been fighting, you know, at least 45 years ago, I bought a food dryer and silver and stuff like that. And man, oh, living, look how long this thing has gone. But it's a spiritual battle. That's what it is. It's all spiritual. And, you know, the enemy's in your own house. Don't fool yourself. You know, you went to the same steeple house. We were friends. Well, you go bring a little truth up in that steeple house. You see how long you last there. I left before they kicked me out, but if I'd have stayed, they would have kicked me out because they didn't want the truth, and I figured that out. And, you know, it's a remnant, folks. It's a remnant. Don't let the enemy get you down. Like my brother-in-law said, don't let the bastard get you down. And that's true. Who's going to steal my joy? It's not for sale. I like to be happy. And the happiness comes from the truth of God's word.
I know what you mean by that when you say it, but it is for everybody else. The spiritual battle that we are fighting, you know, battle cry is the battle of the Lord when you run into them. You know, you can't just say that it's a spiritual battle and then we're going to sit back and all we're going to do is think and, you know, read your Bible and meditate. That's the spiritual battle that we need to be.
But sometimes it's don't cast gold before swine either. You know, if someone's hungry, I always throw bait out, and if they take it, we could talk. I say, you want to talk about the Bible? I got all day. If you want to talk about your religion, I don't really have much time. You know, and that's the truth. You know, we can't let these people get us down. We can't worry about their thinking. There's very few that are going to be saved. It's a remnant. And we just, you know, we came out of Judeo-Christianity, and that double-mindedness is what destroyed us. So, but there are people doing some second thought, and we have to be available when they want us, you know. And think about it. You were talking about David. Now, look at what he didn't have in his life. He didn't have a TV. He didn't have no people around him. He was out in nature. You know, if you can imagine herding sheep, that's got to be close to the boringest job ever in this world. But you know what he did? He had that sling, and he got really good with it. But he didn't have the influence of the people around him, and that's a huge thing. And then we can't let people influence and run us down. It's, you know, like everybody has said, it's between our ears what we choose, and we have. It's not fun to watch our fellow man make the wrong choices. And there's people like those people you're talking about that's all they know is money. Probably got a Cadillac in the garage too.
That's right. See, that's the Judeo part of that Judeo Christianity. I think that's a big part of the influence, a big part of the teaching. Even back Nehemiah 5, I was looking for it while you guys were talking. Nehemiah 5, that was exactly what they had then. You know, Nehemiah 5 says, "You are exacting usury each from his brother." And that's what they were doing. It wasn't just usury, but they were not loving their brother, their neighbor as themselves. And then Nehemiah gives the examples. He says, "All that before me laid burdens on the people, took from them bread and wine and 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants domineered the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God." And
Amen.
He was separate. He separated himself. He told the people, and he led by example. And I think that's where we find ourselves again today, is because of the fear of God, not the love of Jesus. No, and that's there. It's just the way it's misrepresented by the Judeo-Christians. But you know, it's the fear of the Lord that has to be back now. And again, I think...
Well, there's extreme famine of the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks about a famine, and not as food, but of the Word of God being preached. So that's why these people don't know the Scripture and the
that's right.
Lord's Prayer. They don't know it because they're... look at it. We've had a... a mongrel in there for a present. The Bible says a stranger not to rule over you. We've had women in office. We have women preaching everywhere. And people think, oh, that's normal. They don't think nothing of it because they don't know the word.
Because they don't know the word.
Nor do they look.
That's right. You hear so much about judge not, judge not. Psalms 106 says, how blessed are those who keep justice. How blessed are those. See, it's just the opposite. You know, judge not. That's not what the word says. The word says, as you judge, you'll be judged. So just remember that. Remember that, Zach, as you judge me, that you're going to get judged the same way, brother. That's what it means. And so what are we to do? We're to judge righteously, right? And more than where we start is we judge ourselves. That's where we start. And that has to be first and foremost.
Well, when I come up with a stop sign, I got to make a judgment when to apply the brakes. You know, that verse is taken completely out. Yeah, we have to make judgments. We have to make judgment calls. We need to dust our feet sometimes, you know, my point is you don't make the final judgment, because I've had people in my life that corrected me by being jerks. You know what I mean? But I had to learn not to trust in people, family, you name it, and trust in the Lord. That's it. Because the enemy's in your own house, whether you know it or not. You know, we like to think, oh, it's all love world. And I think in the back of our mind, we kind of have that yet, but it's not the way it is. You know, he who hears my voice knows my voice. You know, you're not of my fold. They don't hear my ear, don't understand me. And there's plenty of those around us. Too many.
Yeah, amen. Amen. There are.
It's definitely a lesson to learn, like with Josh's opening and everything that we've been talking about. And we, as Christians, the ones that know the truth, the ones that the mystery has been revealed, I mean, it's pretty easy for us to, like, pick these things out. But it's also reminders, like, I know I've said this before, but there's this old boy that used to be on the ministry. He died now. And I just thought the world of that guy. But I remember he told me, everybody will tell you the truth. They always tell you the truth. If you want to be where they are, pay attention to what they do and what they say. And, you know, like, I got to make a judgment call on what I witness when people like to leverage the name of Jesus to their advantage and not care about me. I don't want to follow that kind of Christianity, nor will I. So they did tell me the truth on how to be, how not to be, you know. And with time and maturity, you are able to pick that kind of stuff out, you know. I mean, there's guys that aren't Christians that I would trust more than people. If you got to tell me you're a Christian, my spidey sense is up immediately. And, you know, so, I mean, is that a good example of they wanted to wear the name of Jesus Christ? Was that representing him well? Or did that put a ding on his reputation? We were involved in a little thing, and when we take on Jesus's name, when we are baptized, we are married to Christ again. We are the bride. We took his name. And if our conduct isn't a certain way, we are representing that name poorly. And that is taking the Lord's name in vain when you're not representing him properly. Brilliant.
Amen.
That's right.
you gotta listen, because whenever for us, for Christians, for his people, whenever you do something wrong, you know you did it wrong, and it bothers you. And you know that if it bothers you a little bit, but it don't bother you as much as whatever the gain is, but then you push it back and you ignore it. And so just we've got to keep that in mind, that every time we make one of those decisions on something that, that bothers us, and we choose what we want to do, or we choose the when they give you the wrong change back at the grocery store, and the attendant has been being not very nice to you or whatever, and you just choose to keep that extra change instead of giving it back to them. And as you're walking away, it's bothering you that, you know, but you feel righteous because, hey, well, this person was a turd, so it serves them right, and I'll put this extra $20 in my wallet, and that's, you know, I deserve it. You're hardening your heart a little bit. You're putting up one another layer of trying to convince yourself that it's okay. If I can do this, if that does that. Well, is that what the Bible says? Okay, well, if that's not what the Bible says, then it's not right. And you're hurting yourself by making that decision and putting money over what's right, or personal gain over what's right.
That's right.
When we say something to somebody, and whether or not you mean to, it ends up being an attack on that person, you know, or it hurts that person in some way. You know, whenever you choose not to stop and apologize, you know, who's it hurting? It's hurting you. And if you choose pride and, you know, keeping your mouth shut, not wanting to look dumb, which you already do because everybody around you sees, but when you choose that pride, when you choose that pride over doing what's right and your name, you're losing. And all these little decisions that you make every day without even thinking about them, that it's a fight, it's a battle, that is part of the battle because that is shaping who you are as a person and your character and what everybody else sees about you and thinks about you. And all that matters.
That's right.
That is your name. Back to what Zach says, that's your name, and it's who you are. And if people know you're a Christian and you're a certain way, and they can see that that's not a way they want to be, is that furthering the faith or is that pushing people away? You got to think about that every minute of every day.
Yeah, the old saying is true.
Very important.
That's right. The old saying is true that, you know, you are the only Christ these people may see. Because they don't, the ones that make it to jeopardy don't know the Lord's Prayer. And that's representative of so many people in the land today. And, you know, it's not like when we were growing up. It's not like it was 40 years ago. It's just not. And exactly what you're saying, Josh, we have to mentally prepare for that and start each day, you know, Lord, give me opportunities to further your kingdom, to do these things, to you know, show kindness, to practice hospitality, to, you know, to be that light in the dark world. And when we do these things that you're talking about, when we do, not reply like the world replies when the checkout person is like you said, is a turd. You know, when we're smiling and we're happy and we're not letting it get us down. When we are making sure that that things are right, that we're getting the right change back, that they're not messing things up. You know, when we're not given the one finger salute because of road rage, because that guy cut us off. Those things, those little things, certainly are a place that we need to be every day, you know, coming against that that flesh and being representatives of this word. Because now I think more than ever,
I'll tell everybody that I fail at this every day. Yeah, I'm not trying to make it out like I got it figured out.
Don't we all?
But I do get up and try again and try to be that guy, you know, that we should try to be.
That's right. That's right.
Well, the battle cry of the Revolutionary War was no king but Jesus. Now, if you read that in your life, that eliminates a lot of people. a lot of things. I mean, no King but Jesus, you know, what would he do? Yeah, you make the right change. You just do a lot of simple little things. One time I paid a lady, and she gave me back more than I paid her. You know, I said, maybe we ought to start and redo this again, you know, and a couple of people said, well, he's honest, you know. It kind of appalled them, but yeah, I have more shame than I paid her, so I said, you better start over. But, you know, I could have walked out of there with more than I went in, but I didn't, because I know God's looking on my shoulder, and I failed too. We all fail. We're not perfect, but we know who He is.
That's right. And you know, Paul, I think we're seeing it more and more in people as the evil increases in the land, as the White House is pushing and promoting Pride Month and has their big debauchery there, more and more people are turning, they're appalled by that. They're turning away from that. And a scripture that comes to mind in John 3, verse 21 says, "He who practices the truth comes to the light." And I know many times we think, well, you know, people need to repent and become Christian, and then they'll straighten up and fly right. You know, then they'll start turning against this stuff. But I think we're witnessing just the opposite. I think we're witnessing what I just read here. There are many that are appalled by the evil in the land and are turning away from it. And because they turn away from it, they're turning in the right direction. And that's what it says. He who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. They don't even know it, and they're you know, turning in the right direction. I saw this story in Burlington, Massachusetts, and these middle schoolers are rebelling against the Pride Month indoctrination. And they have tore down the Pride banners that have been put up. When they're walking through, they're chanting, USA are my pronouns. And, oh, it's just creating a big flop out there. And when you read the article, you see that middle schoolers, what is that, sixth grade, you know, that even they know better. And they're turning away from it, you know, and saying, hey, I don't want anything to do with this. And we're seeing bits and pieces of that, probably more than bits and pieces, all over the country. And as they turn, I think that we, you know, we need to be right there ready for them.
That's newest.
You know, when you see stuff like that happening, you know, like those middle schoolers pushing back.
Yes.
And like you see stuff that's happening to these companies, you know, that are promoting that agenda, and the pushback that societies, or half of societies, that, you know, giving up. I would bet that most of those are Anglo-Saxon, some type of Christian foundation, people that have the law written on their heart. And when that kind of stuff, that's like a couple of ducks getting put in a row.
Yes.
That's straightening out a couple of wrongs. And if that's not, and when I see those kind of things, like, the enemy just must flip, because that means they're losing power. That means they're losing authority, because they're getting a couple of things right. And that's why it's important when you see, so like, you know, that's where I think the double-mindedness is going to get people whacked, because they got that part right, but they have the other wrong, like what we were talking about either. And I don't know if that makes any sense. And I know in my mind's eye, I can see it. But, you know, it's like what Paul said earlier. People don't know the scriptures. They're not studied up on them. You know, I know why I believe that Israel is a multitude of nations. It's because the Bible said so. Now, you go tell somebody else that claims to be a Christian, they will fight you because that is what they heard.
Right.
Or they heard otherwise. The very dangerous place, that's what double-mindedness is. You're in both systems.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if that makes any sense, but, you know, that's just what I see.
Double-mindedness is destructive as heck because, it's been said before, you know, if you hold two opposing views, they got you. You know, when you say you're a Christian and you so love Babylon, you know, like these people are trying to get a better deal on stuff and it's all about money, it don't take long to see through a person. You start seeing how they handle their money and how they treat people. You can see through people pretty quickly. You know, I'm a salesman for fertilizer and stuff like that, but it don't take long to see through someone and what their motive is. You know, and the problem is a lot of these farmers are just flat greedy. They just want to make a living. You know, if they did things scriptural, you know, they honored the land where it would be to bless them. But they're in there right up to their neck in this Babylonian system, and they think they're godly. You know, so the double mind is extremely dangerous. No king but Jesus. It gets rid of a lot of people.
Well, see, the thing of it is, all those same people that I'm talking about and you're talking about will sit there and go. And they, if they were there, they'd be willing to protest the gay pride march on Washington, D.C. They'd be in both camps and not even know it. And that's the position that this country is in.
So back to the group of middle schoolers, children or what have you. I was thinking as Richard and Zach talking about them, that, and Zach made the point that they make the enemy angry, and so they do, and they're making themselves targets. So when we hear about somebody that's doing something correct like that, we need to lift them up in prayer. It don't take long. You're reading that story, you know, to pray, Lord, I pray that you keep them on the right path, that you watch over them, protect them, and keep them safe.
That's
you
right.
Know, and bring them closer to you. And that should be our normal. Whenever we see somebody doing what's good and what's right, to lift them up in prayer. Because we know from Scripture that one person holding their hands up and praying might be what's changing the tide of a whole war, a whole battle, you know. And so we need to be that person.
That's
You're right.
Right. That's right. That Psalms 106, it says, how blessed are those who keep justice, who keep judgment. The next verse says, who practice righteousness at all times. You want to be blessed by God? That's what you got to do. And part of that is just what you're saying is, you know, we're told to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you might not be able to hit it 100%, but part of it is just what you're saying. When you see things like this, you pray for them. You pray for them. It doesn't take much. But it's being, like you started out with the program, Josh, mentally prepared. Mentally prepared. You know, Lord, give me your eyes. Show me what to do today. Show me who to pray for. And you know, it might be who to pray against. But we have, you know, the thought's been occurring to me, it's game time. It's game time now. You know, we have been practicing. We have been taught. We have been given examples in our life to, Josh, like you said, hey, you know, we all fail at this miserably at times. And then we learn from it. I was talking to my son, George, the cowboy out there, and he made a mistake last week, had some problems with his boss, and he owned up to it. Hey, it was my fault. I know I shouldn't have done it and this and that and should have done things different. And he's just turned 21. And I told him, listen, it's good that you owned up to it. It's good that you've talked with your boss about it and you learned from it. You know, that's how we learn. We don't do it again. We do our best not to, and we try to learn from it. And I think that's the time that we're in. It's like game time, you know. The practices are winding down, and it's you know, it's time. I think people have been practicing, like, you know, mentally prepared for the physical fight, for the spiritual fight. I think we see it on the gardening side as an example. More and more people gardening, raising chickens, doing things to be more independent as far as, you know, not depending on the supply chain and the big box stores and things like that. And I think that's part of them. I think it's part of the preparation for what's coming. And it's just on people's hearts, like that law, at least on some of them. And we are seeing it. But I sure think that time draws near. That time draws near. More and more people are waking up. And Remnant, we need to make sure we're there to point them to this word, just like we were pointed to the word.
Well, in the Revolutionary War, it was 3% of the people that fought and won that war. Now, the other 97% were either indifferent or against them. You know, they liked the Babylonian system. So, but, you know, George Washington, time on his knees praying, and God was with him. God will fight our battles if we'll repent. That's all he asks, just repent, and I'll do your fighting for you.
That's right.
But otherwise, you get Nebuchadnezzar, Biden, and all these other people on the other side of the tracks that run your show. And because we've gone into idolatry, government has nothing to give you. It didn't take from something else. I live in a socialist country my whole life, and we get people don't know it, but this is a communist country. It has been the 72 years I've been around.
I was thinking as y'all been talking and Zach and all. What the Judeo-Christians doing damage. Nowadays, it is with the toxic masculinity and all this that looked at as negative for a man or even a person to be faulty. But we know that biblically that is a good thing, you know, because if, you know, what good is a fault? And have a savior rather be cast out and fall upon our feet. I mean, we are choosing to be trampled on because we won't be salty and stand up for what is good. Now, that doesn't cancel out humility and kindness and meekness and gentleness and all these other traits, but the one they're going against is being salty, being a man. You know, nobody's trying to talk you out of being kind or being generous and giving them money or whatever. No, they'll take that all day long. But, just
another point. That's right. You know, I think any time that's mentioned, I think of the disciples that Jesus called. Who did he call first and foremost? He called fishermen. You ever known fishermen? You know, whether it's lobstermen from Maine or you know, they're salty. They're tough. I grew up with my dad had a good friend, Bubba Lewis, in Savannah, Georgia. He was a shrimp boat captain, had two shrimp boats, and he was salty. He was tough. And that's who Jesus called as his disciples from the very beginning. I think that's a good example.
And how do you get tough? You do hard things, wrapping back around to where we started the program. You do hard things every day. You make the tough stand. You put yourself second. Put the other person first. And that's how you get there, is every single day making those decisions to do the right thing, to be tougher, to be stronger, to be better. And you'll be thankful for it tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, rejection from family and friends and people you trusted all your life, that most people can't take that. I went through it. I mean, I was ostracized by the church I was in. You know, they thought that me and my brother are pretty radical, you know, which means original, back to basics. But you're ostracized. You got to, you know, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And I lived that. And I wouldn't have it any other way, but it was not fun, let me tell you, to find out that everything you believed was not there. It just wasn't there. So, I mean, but I've been down that road, and I wouldn't have it any other way. At the time, I didn't like it, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
It's growth. It's growth. Well, guys, we're out of time. Boy, that hour went fast. And I want to thank all of you for joining us. Thank you, men. And I hope you have a blessed weekend. And sure appreciate it. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast at scriptures4america.org. scriptures4america.org. You can click on the live video stream. We'll start out with a review of the news. Lots of news going on. Going to talk about that a little bit. We've got a timeless pulpit truth and then a live message for you. Communion as well. So we hope you'll join us at scriptures4america.org Sunday morning. God bless. We'll see you then.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.